Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Oh, come on, you can do better than that.
Amen.
All right, good. One of the things today, we have the name of Jesus. And one of the things about that today, there's a lot more than that than just, you know, we're going to name him Jesus. First of all, Jesus, Yeshua in Hebrew, means what?
Joshua.
Well, Joshua in English. Okay, close. God saves. Okay? So when we're talking in the name of Jesus, we are actually making a witness that God saves. And I find that kind of thing very interesting. All right, so let's look at the name of God, which is what my sermon is about. It's found in 125 verses in the Bible, but it's mentioned 556 times. Well, I've always thought very strongly that if the Bible says it more than once, it's probably important. And when it says it 556 times, it's probably really important. But why? Well, here's the thing that I find very interesting about this. I had you stand today when we sang about the Trinity, didn't I? Matthew 28, verse 19, the Great Commission. Go ye therefore and baptize all nations, okay? Making disciples in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. All right, in Greek the word name is onoma. Now, Greek is something that is really, I find, interesting because at the end of words, you can have 28 different meanings to the word based on the ending of the word. All right, so onoma, the A on the end of that means masculine singular. All right, name. You know, when we say the word name in English, are we saying masculine or feminine? Anything. How about singular or plural? Same thing. So when we translate that in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, it doesn't really say anything, does it? But in Greek, onoma, the masculine singular name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. One, three. There's the Trinity, isn't it? And remember, Trinity is not mentioned in the Bible. However, if you start reading the Bible in the original language, it's there all the time. All right, so three and one, one and three. Well, as you can see here, I have some verses. Now, I didn't put down all 125 verses. If I did that, we'd have about a four-hour sermon, and I don't know about you, but I had a vice president at Western New Mexico University and said, the mind cannot absorb what the seat cannot endure. And you know, I think that's very true. It is. All right, let's look at that first one from Exodus. God also said to Moses, say this to the people of Israel, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and thus I am to be remembered throughout all generations. All right, this is my name. What does that mean in this case? There's that good Lutheran question, isn't it? What does this mean? Well, the thing is, when we start to look at this is my name, his name is to talk about and witness to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It doesn't make any difference that it's his name is Moses. It's what he does with that name. Deuteronomy 14, and before the Lord your God, in the place that he will choose to make his name dwell there. To make his name dwell there. You shall eat the tithe of your grain, of your wine, and of your oil, and the firstborn of your herd and flock, that you may learn to fear the Lord your God always. All right, let's turn that back this way. What does it mean? Remember in Luther, in the Small Catechism, always says you must fear and love God. Are we supposed to be afraid of God? No. We are supposed to respect God. Okay? And when I look at this, that you may learn to respect the Lord your God always. Makes sense that way, doesn't it? But make his name dwell there. Make his name dwell there. Interesting way of saying something, isn't it? Where do we see that also in the Bible? John 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So God's name and the Word are the same. You following me with that on? Okay. And 2 Samuel, and your name will be magnified forever, saying, the Lord of hosts is God over Israel, and the house of your servant David will be established before you. Why is that important? Who is Jesus? The Word of God and the inheritor of the rod of Jesse. Okay. When we start looking at that, everything starts to tie together. Did you know that Jesus is related to David both on his father's side and on his mother's side? Now let's look at this for a second. Is Joseph his father? His earthly, his adoptive father, let's say. But yet, he still brings that relationship to Jesus, doesn't he? But on Mary's side, she's a direct descendant of David. How many of you knew that? Okay, I see a couple of heads going like that. That's why Jesus' lineage is so important. You know, in the Christmas story, the lineage is that word that's used. Why? Because it comes to Jesus on both sides of his family. Let's go to Micah 4. For all the peoples walk each in the name of its God, but we will walk in the name of the Lord our God forever and ever. In Hebrew, anytime you start reading the Old Testament, you ever seen Lord in smaller case letters? Why? Well, you can't say the name of the Lord, which is Yahweh in Hebrew. So what do? Well, you got to remember that in Hebrew, we use consonants with no vowels. The word Yahweh has got four consonants. And we call it the tetragrammaton, which is Greek. Tetra is four. Grammaton, letters. Four letters. So when we start looking at that, we do not say the name Yahweh. We say the word Lord. At the seminary, we couldn't say Yahweh, we had to use Lord. Okay? It's one of those idiosyncrasies, but because it was referring to God, we follow the Old Testament in that. Well, what's the other name for God? Anybody know? Not Baal, our God. Well, true, in Hebrew. Elohim. Okay? Yeah, you're all right, though, but Elohim. El is God. Now, here's where we start finding a very interesting meaning. Genesis 1, the word Elohim is used. All right? Chapter 1, verse 4, and God sent his spirit out over the waters. Right? All right, so we have God. We have the Holy Spirit. Now, who's not mentioned there? Jesus. But he's mentioned later on, isn't he? In ways that he's brought in. Because anytime it talks about the angel of the Lord, it's usually referring back to Jesus. All right, so God sent his spirit out over the waters. El, God. Ohim means is many. Now, I had a talk one time with a rabbi, and he says, well, singular words can have plural endings. I said, okay, why would God have a plural ending? I thought the Jewish religion is monotheism. Well, it is. I said, well, so God is many? Interesting question, isn't it? I really believe that that is referring to the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit from the first chapter of the Bible. And when you start looking at that, God sent His Spirit. Elohim is what's used in the Hebrew Bible. The only one that's missing is Jesus, angel of the Lord, God who is many. Is name important? Of course it is. All right, now let's get in to the New Testament. And here we are in John 1 again, but verse 12. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Believed in his name. What's Jesus' name mean again? God saves. So believe in his name that God saves means that you become children of God. Does that first take on a little bit deeper meaning then? Okay. And such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, and you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. We believe in two sacraments. Why? Well, Luther said that to be a sacrament, you've got to have the Word of God tied to a physical act of some kind. Okay. Our baptism. Now, when we do baptism of the Lord next week, actually it's in 3 weeks, we're going to use this as our baptismal font again. Why? Because when we come up, we'll dip our fingers in the water and renew our baptism, okay, in memory of our baptism. But what's the other one we have? The Lord's Supper. And we just sang, one bread, one body, one Lord of all. One bread, one body, one name of all. Couldn't those both be used interchangeably? Sure they could. And I think that's what we start looking at theology. Is it complex? Yes. But is it simple? Yes. Emmanuel. Okay, God with us. All right, let's look at 2 Timothy. I like 2 Timothy because it's the one verse in the Bible that says a pastor must be a teacher. Actually, the word in Greek is didaskalos, to teach. Okay? So that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you, and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. How can God be in us? Where does that come from? Let's not all speak at once. Baptism. What happens during the act of baptism? It's an exorcism. What's thrown out? Because what is exorcised from us? Well, the bad, yeah, true. But the bad spirits, okay? What enters into us at that time? The Holy Spirit. All right, so we throw out bad spirits, and the Holy Spirit enters us. When that happens, we become the children of God. God's in us. Why? Because when he's in us, we're in him. They go both ways. Revelation 3, verse 12, and it's in red. Why? Jesus says it. The one who conquers, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God. Never shall he go out of it. And I will write on him the name of my God. I'll write on him the name of my God. Interesting, isn't it? And the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down from my God out of heaven, and my own new name. Now, wait a second. The name of God, the name of the city of my God, my own new name. How can Jesus have a new name? Any of you ever read that verse and wondered about it? All right. Revelation is built on two pillars. In verse 2, we have God saying, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Chapter 22. Jesus says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. God, Jesus, are... Now notice, I didn't say both. God, Jesus, are the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega. Why is Revelation set up that way? Because it's telling us that the Trinity is one. One of the things, there are some things about the Holy Spirit that aren't treated the same. George, we were talking about this in Sunday, not Sunday school, but Bible study, and George said, but the Holy Spirit is mentioned in Revelation. And he came in with what, 5 verses? Is that what you found? Yeah, I think so too. All right, so the Holy Spirit is in there. So the Trinity is something that is the name of God. So what is Jesus' new name? Jesus is God. And he's telling this to us right there. And finally, in Revelation, we have 2 pieces of clothing mentioned. We have garments and robes. Okay. When do we see the word garment used quite often? In baptism. What do you give the people to wipe the water off? Receive this garment. That's right out of Luther's baptismal service. Receive this garment. Okay. What does it signify? That you are part of the family of God. You're a child of God. But now when we look at Revelation 19, he is clothed in a robe dipped in blood, and the name by which he is called is the Word of God. So when I talked about John, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The name by which he is called is the Word of God. I love it when the Bible explains itself, because it's in there. But the thing is that when we usually sit down and read, oh, let's say we're reading 1 Corinthians. We read 1 Corinthians, or we read Galatians, or we read Revelation. Do you tie everything in the Bible together? There's the difficulty, isn't it? One of the things I do is I use a free Bible study software called eSort. You can download it. In fact, they just have it for your phone now, which is great too. When I read this thing, say 125 verses found, 556 matches, eSort is where I get that, because I'll put in a phrase, you know, how many times is this in the Bible? And it'll list every time it's in there, which makes my work for making sermons a lot easier to do that. Okay, and that's where this came from when I started pulling this stuff out, is it helps me put this together. Okay, well, the thing is, if I put it together, then you hear it. It's like somebody said, what do you do when you learn something new? I said, I share it with the people, which is what, you know, you called me to do, is keep on reading. Although with my eyes right now, it's a little difficult, but that's okay. All right, so garments, robes, a robe dipped in blood. Anybody remember what the robe signifies in Revelation? Because I preached on it in here. He's a martyr. All right, who is the martyr for the faith in this verse? What was the Sunday school answer for everything? Jesus. All right, so who is the martyr in this verse? Jesus. Why? He's got a robe that's dipped in blood. Whose blood is it dipped in? Not ours. His. Okay. Even Jesus, when he went to the cross, was a martyr for the faith. Okay, the most important martyr, But he gave his life for what he believed, didn't he? You know, as we start looking at the importance of the cross and Jesus, one of the things I was told by my pastor years ago is everything before the cross leans forward to it. Everything since the cross leans back to it. Why? Because that cross is the most important thing that ever happened in human history. And I am so upset these days when Christianity is almost outlawed to the fact that if you preach what's in the Bible, especially right now in Canada, you can be arrested. I think I told you this. One of my brothers was preaching on the end of Romans, first chapter, when it talks about men laying with men and women laying with women. Okay, the Bible is very clear about that. He was in the middle of his sermon, and the police came in and arrested him for hate speech. Is that going to happen here? Yeah, I think so too. I pray it doesn't. But you can sort of see the way things are going. But then you've got to make a stand. Do you believe it or not? Do you become a martyr in your own life? And it doesn't have to be a martyr in death. Do you witness for what you believe? And there is a good question, isn't it? New life and a martyr for faith. I like that, David. I'm going to steal that. You know, one of the things that we read about today is the fact that in the epistle, we were under the law in the Old Testament. Why? Well, because laws, I'm going to quote Jeff again, laws are easier to follow. You don't have to think. You know, WWJD, what would Jesus do? Well, if that's the case, then you're really going to have to think with your conscious mind, aren't you? What would he want me to do? When you start doing that, welcome to the Christian faith. And may this faith keep your hearts and minds on Christ Jesus today, tomorrow, and always. Amen.